Hi, welcome. It's Thursday, the 28th of September. September is it's almost over. I can't believe it. We're soon to be in October. Welcome again to the Digital Lounge. Today we're going to be looking at Microsoft Process Advisor. Perhaps you're already using Power Automate, but are you aware of this extra tool that can help you optimize your processes? We're going to be looking at that today. Also, are your Microsoft systems staying evergreen? Are you on top of the wave updates? Do you understand how those updates work? A lot of our customers ask regularly about that. We're going to be exploring both of those topics today on the Digital Lounge. Okay, here we go again. And I'm pleased to say we have got Ollie Sinclair back. Hi, Ollie. How you doing?
Hi, Mark. Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks. You're all over the place at the moment. I know we're working on the South Coast Summit, which you're attending in October. Are you actually talking about Process Advisor there, or is that you is
Yes, I
that
am. Yeah, I'm
yeah.
doing a session on Process Advisor or process mining. It's a new sort of tool and feature that's a part of Power Automate, the kind of the workflow engine of the Power Platform.
Okay, well, just before we went on air, you dropped the bombshell that it's not even called Process Advisor anymore.
No.
So this is hot off the press, I'm assuming. So what should we be calling it now?
Yeah, so it's an interesting one. I think Microsoft must have got some feedback from the community or from someone. And yeah, it was called Process Advisor, which is interesting. It seemed like a good label of a name, but I think they kind of more went with actually what is it, and it is actually process mining. So that kind of makes a lot of sense that change the label to actually people don't get confused about what Process Advisor is. It's a general term, process mining. That term has been around in the industry for a while. So yeah, I think they just took the label change.
Okay, so just so I'm clear, Microsoft data mining or Microsoft pr process mining?
Process mining, yeah.
Process mining. Sorry, that was I wrote that down wrong. Okay, Microsoft process mining. So, what is it, and why should our customers be thinking about this then, please?
Yeah, sure. So really, if you think about and any sort of process, companies sort of tend to think their process is relatively simple, linear workflows of we do this and then we do this and then we do that. But in reality, really, processes are can be quite complicated, iterative. They can divulge based on different areas, and really, it can be quite a complicated mesh of activities and sub-processes. That build up that processes, and really sort of data mining or process mining the technology, it's kind of like an analytical discipline to gain process intelligence and develop data-driven understanding of what that process is. So rather than intuitively, us guys as consultants, we will go along to a company and we'll say, okay, tell us your processes, tell us what you do. And we'll get a narrative, which is very, very useful and really interesting to understand pain points. But we might get an intuitive answer around the actual process. And what we want to know is what's happening on the ground in reality. And that's really where you can glean all of this information from your data. So you can have a data view of your process. And that's really effectively process mining.
Right. Okay. And so this is part of Power Automate, is my understanding. What do what would a customer need to have in place to access power mining then?
Yeah. So if you've got Power Automate and you've got Power Automate premium licenses, this actually comes a part of the product. So RPA, robotic process automation, has been around for a number of years within Power Automate as a feature. And what they've done is they've kind of aligned that to some of the licensing elements. So if you've got premium, you've got RPA. If you've got RPA, you've got process mining. For enterprise level customers, because when you're looking at, getting all of this data, and understanding a process, there is actually an additional license you can have that expands about 100 gigs of your Dataverse capacity, because a lot of this data will then be consumed within Dataverse. So I think that's about $5,000 for process mining data, sort of data add-on.
And what kind of what are people going to get from this then? Is it a saving in processing or data, or is it that there's going to be time efficiencies within the business? How is it, what is it exactly trying to do for us?
Yeah, so in terms of, you know, it's going to enable not only at the initial stages, like us going in and doing the discovery, but throughout sort of the life cycle of a process, it's going to give you some insights into potential bottlenecks. So because you are looking at individual tasks and that data, it's going to give you a visual map of your actual processes and the things that are actually happening. But what's really useful is if you've got the right data plugged in, you can do things like understanding, you know, long running tasks where the task might, you know, might be in a certain status for a long, long time before it moves on to something else. And you can actually have a full picture of that process and look at, you know, identifying the process trends or patterns and deviations of that process, the automation opportunities that could come from that. So Process Advisor is that first start to say, okay, well, let's look at that process and let's find out where the bottlenecks are, where the pain points are, that the data is telling us. And then the fun stuff for the consultants comes along and goes, right, okay, well, maybe we need a bit of a digital platform here. Maybe we can do some automation there and improve the efficacy of that process. Okay. And that's really, really useful. But what you can also do is, if you've made some changes, you know, input some digital processing or some automation into that process, you can use the data again and then plumb it into process mining again to see if that has actually made a difference. Has it increased the performance of the process? Have we, you know, streamlined some of those edge cases that were maybe going through loops and running through the same activity time and time again? Because it wasn't done right the first time. So lots of things that you can do to enable the process to be improved, but also to be automated.
Okay. And do you think this is a tool that would be used by business users or to operations people, or is it more of a technical tool, or who would find this particularly useful, do you think?
Yeah. So there's a four stages to implementing process mining into one of your processes. The first is starting with data collection and pre-processing. You need to grab your data from wherever it is. And what's really useful within Power Automate is you've got, you know, the connectors that you can use. So you can connect to lots and lots of different types of data source. And using Power Query, you can transform that data so that it will fit into what you want to do. But that part may be a little bit more, maybe relying on IT or your data DBAs to get you the right data. But actually pushing that into the Process Advisor is really, really easy. In the South Coast Summit and actually on a collab days in Bletchley Park yesterday, I took an audience through, actually, yes, okay, it was a demo data, but I took them actually through the journey, and it really only took a couple of minutes to map that data and then to get it through into Process Advisor to analyze. What's really useful is, before we had these types of tools, it would be, you know, days and days of a database analyst, a machine learning expert, to try and come up with the right models to get all this information done. What Microsoft has done is pushed that, you know, kind of back into the realms of business people to be able to actually do the analytics and do that, get the insights as quickly as possible. So in my opinion, it's probably, you will need a little bit of data help to get the right data in the right way. Copilot is coming soon, so it might even be able to assist you in some of that. But really, this is going to be built for you know, product owners, people that will want to have a look at their efficacy of their processes and then make the right calls to say how can they improve it. What's useful is it's not just about implementing technology to make improvements. This could give you insights into how your resources are allocated. You know, whether you've got a couple of people that are doing some really critical elements and they're only doing it at certain times, which is the wrong time for the business. So these sort of outcomes can be found from Process Advisor.
Okay.
Or from Process Mining.
Yeah. And if I know there are a number of customers that follow us on this podcast, and I'm sure they'll be able to get in contact with their account manager. But if there's anybody listening today, it's a business that's maybe not invested in Microsoft at the moment. Is this perhaps one of our Art of the Possible sessions? Do you think that would help a business try to figure out where they could maybe take advantage of some of these tools?
I think so. Yeah, I think, you know, that there is some, if you've got, you know, most systems have the ability to sort of audit, you know, what's happening, what's being entered, what's being done within their systems. So having access to that data should be available. And absolutely, Crimson can come along and do Art of the Possible sessions where we can say, okay, let's not worry about tech implementation and let's find out what the problem is first. Let's do some root cause analysis. Let's do some analysis on your data to tell us where the problems are with your process. And they could probably choose a couple of processes where there's readily data available. We can plumb that into Process Advisor and take them through that journey. Then they can start owning that. And then, you know, we can work with them to improve their processes if it's technology that we can identify as, or automation that we can identify as needed.
Fab. Ollie, thank you as always. It's always great to catch up with you, and best of luck at the South Coast Summit.
Brilliant. Thank you. Cheers.
Okay. We've been talking about the Digital Leadership Report on the last few shows, asking people to get involved with that and take part in the survey. Thank you for all those that took advantage of that. Well, I think we've had over 2,000 responses across the globe to that survey. So the Digital Leadership Report will be coming out in November, and we will be running a show on that just to get an idea of what people's priorities are at the moment in terms of digital investments. So that's the first topic for today. The second one is all about keeping up with Microsoft, and joining me now is Adam. Adam, welcome to the show. Lovely to have you here today. We're talking about Wave releases, and I know we're going to have a separate show on the next Wave, but updates from Microsoft, it's just become a little bit more complicated over time, and we were hoping to learn a little bit more about that today. First of all, are Microsoft updates mandatory, first of all, if you're on the cloud?
I mean, it's there's kind of multiple answers. Ultimately, are updates mandatory for Power Platform and Dynamics? Yes, you can no longer defer updates. You are getting features as they're released. The only thing that I would say on that is that not all updates are released in the same way. So some of the updates are released during a wave, and actually they're only enabled by administrators or customizers in the system. So those updates, whilst they get deployed, aren't visible to all of the users. The next level is actually updates who come through and they get automatically applied for administrators. And then the third category, which is the category that we put most of our focus on, is updates that get automatically applied for users. So those ones are automatically applied for all the users and they see them at the point of release.
Okay. And is Microsoft changing the process? Has it changed? Because I seem to remember years ago that it seemed to be simpler, but the world has become a little bit more complicated.
It has. And I mean, if we go back 5-6 years, maybe, and we were in the days of CRM online, as it was called back then. And if we thought about CRM back then, it was sales, service, marketing, and those were the three modules that we considered. Then came along this idea of a Power Platform. All of the related tool set came along, and it became a much bigger product and a much bigger platform to manage. So you're quite right. Maybe 3-4 years ago, we had a concept of a deferral. And actually, we could say that we didn't want to receive the release at that point. We could defer to the next major upgrade. But maybe, as you said, maybe 3 years or so ago, Microsoft changed that and they released what was called a continuous release process. Mm. And with that came the idea of two wave updates per year. Mm. So a wave one, which was generally released in April, and then a wave two, which is released in October. And again, rather than those releases being, here you go, here's a whole load of functionality that's enabled immediately, the wave release describes functionality that's going to be released in the 6 months following that date. Mm. So for the wave one, it's April to September. And then for wave two, we're talking about October to March of the following year.
Mm. Okay. What are you seeing are the kind of the implications to this change, maybe for our customers, but also, I suppose, for us as well?
I think that the main thing really is with the advent of the wave releases and the continuous release process, we got this idea of an early access option. So what that did is it allowed us to say, okay, well, the release is going to come through in April, let's say. We can actually enable an early release on one of our non-production systems so that we can go through, see some of those features and test them ahead of that release coming through. Generally speaking, where the release comes through in April, we get the opportunity to do early release, normally start of February, normally a couple of months before. But the main consideration amongst anything else is where features are automatically enabled for users. Okay. And those are the ones we focus on.
Okay, so those are the sort of durations that you'd recommend as such for customers, or?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, with the platform growing as quickly as it is, it's hard to give a specific number of how long should you prepare. You know, wave releases are different. Some wave releases have got lots of functionality in one particular area. Some have a spread across multiple. And I think that the main thing for us is as early as reasonably possible. So as we said, as soon as those early access features come out, let's start getting to grips with them and understanding what it means for both us internally and our customers.
Right. Okay. So I think, again, if the people listening to the call today and they haven't invested in the Microsoft platform, they might be interested in learning a bit about what our customers do and how they manage that. Have you got any sort of insight into the approach that they take to make this work and manageable?
Yeah, I mean, we offer at Crimson, we offer an evergreen program, and that evergreen program includes notifications and what we call upgrade assessments. Mm. So what we do is we take the latest wave releases, and it's worth pointing out there's a wave release for Dynamics 365, and there is also a separate wave release for the Power Platform. We take that, we take out some of the key features and some of the things that we think are going to be most impactful. And then we produce a template or an upgrade assessment. And then we go through and do a tailored assessment of each customer to see what features are going to be impacting. And again, we always go with upgrading a non-production environment with sufficient amount of data so that the customers can check that functionality ahead of it being applied to their real system.
Fantastic. So how do people find out about the updates then? Is there a source to go to if they're not working with us, for example?
Yeah, I mean, the challenge here is with most things Microsoft, there isn't just one source, there are multiple sources. And mainly the releases are all posted publicly on the Microsoft website. So for Power Platform and for Dynamics, there is also a list of notifications that generally come through from the admin center in Office 365. And also there is a new portal which Microsoft have released, which shows features and a kind of timeline of when they come in.
Okay, Okay, fantastic. Well, maybe we can take the URLs of those and put that into the show notes, Adam. I think that's all for today on wave releases. So thank you for joining me, Adam. It's your first time on the show. I'm hopefully we'll have you back soon.
Hope so.
Yeah, great stuff. Many thanks, Adam. Okay, well, that's everything for today's show. We realize a lot of you are joining this show not live, but after the occasion. But please leave comments on LinkedIn, YouTube, wherever you might find us. We're always keen to find out a bit more about what you'd like to hear. We've got lots of experts that we can draw on, so. But on that, well, our next show is on Thursday, the 12th of October, and we're going to be talking to Ollie again. That man is always on this show. He's going to be telling us about what's going on at a big event in Las Vegas. I think he was basically after a flight over to Vegas for a few days at the Power Platform conference. But he's going to be letting us know if there's any exciting news there for updates. So look out for that in the next couple of weeks. And I think with that, we'll call it a day. So thanks again. See you again soon on the Digital Lounge.